Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, friends. Welcome to the Devotional Chef Show. My name is Ron Graham, and I am the producer of the show. Reverend Robert Lacey, the Devotional Chef, will be with us, and today he is going to talk about the American tradition, the Sunday family dinner. We're glad to have you with us. We hope you enjoy it. We hope the food makes you hungry, and we hope the chef gives you a devotion to warm your heart. Chef, are you with us? Are you with us, Chef? The Devotional Chef should be with us any moment now. Are you with us? What do you think, Chef? Are you there? Well, while we're waiting for the chef to get through technical difficulties, we'll just tell you that you can find him on Twitter at Devotional Chef. There is also a page on Facebook called The Devotional Chef. We have a website called thedevotionalchef.com, and there will be a blog post that describes what happened during this program by this evening, so you'll be able to check our website to find out anything you may have missed. Chef, are you with us? Chef, are you with us? Are you there, Chef?
Hello, Ron.
There we go. I thought I'd lost you there for a moment, Reverend Lacey. How are you doing today?
Well, I would like to say hello to all our listeners out there on Blog Talk Radio, tuning into the Devotional Chef Show. We hope we have something to share with you that'll hopefully the purpose of the show is Sunday family dinner. It's a tradition that has kind of gotten away from America, where there was a time families sat together every night at 8, but when I was growing up, we used to live in New Jersey and travel to New Jersey from Pennsylvania and go to my grandmother's house, and she would always cook two meats, the best snowflake yeast rolls you could ever make from scratch, the pass around, you know, bowls of mashed potatoes or whatever she had. It was always a pie or something. It was great to have the family together from all over eating at grandma's house. So I've been keeping that tradition at my house, that I, at least on Sunday, come together as a family and get to familiarize yourself and love one another over a nice meal. How about that?
Well, let me ask you this, Reverend Lacey. Can this be any Sunday, or do you have to have a special Sunday to pull off a real family dinner?
Well, I think you could pull it off any day of the week. But it seems, again, it can be any Sunday. It's just something that I think Americans need to come together and eat together, because you got the mother on one schedule, the father on another, the kids are latchkey kids coming and going, fast food. You know, that we've even gotten to the point eating in separate rooms.
Amazing. Now, you know, earlier today when we were getting ready for the show, you told me something interesting that happens whenever you tell the neighbors that you're cooking. Why don't you tell our listeners what the neighbors will say to you in return?
Well, the folks that know that I'm cooking, I invite them over, and they join in the Lacey family tradition, and they enjoy the food. And sometimes when I'm barbecuing outside, my neighbors will come by and say, "Hey, what time is lunch?"
Yeah, that's exactly what I would do. If I'm anywhere in the neighborhood and I can smell something coming from that cooker, I'm going to be there.
Yes, sir. Was that something that I had mentioned? Did I hit the mark there? I'm not sure.
No, you're in good shape.
Okay, so what we want to do is try to share from the Devotional Cookbook the recipes that could help you bring together your family as something that everyone loves. America is in love with barbecue.
That we are.
And so I thought I'd go ahead and share a Sunday barbecue chicken with our audience.
Great. Is this something you need the smoker to do?
Well, it'd be great if you can barbecue it outside. But this, you know, way before I even knew about outside barbecue, we were barbecuing oven style. So this is going to be an indoor-outdoor kind of thing. You can do it in the oven. As a matter of fact, on Mother's Day, I'm going to do some roast pork fresh picnic. And I have
really?
delicious barbecue sauce. I'm going to roast it inside my oven. But I have this beautiful barbecue sauce. And once I slice it up, I'm going to, put it on there, and it's going to taste like barbecue outside.
Now, Reverend Lacey, is this barbecue sauce your own recipe?
No, it isn't. And since it's a brand name, I won't give it away.
Okay, that's
but
fine. That's
one of my favorites.
Someday
but I
on
like
our
to...
show, we're going to talk about your own works in terms of sauces and spices.
We will. Here's what we want to do. We want to start off with something simple. We talked about barbecue chicken. I'm a traditionalist. I think it's cost-effective if you buy whole chickens. You only get 8 pieces of chicken with a whole chicken, or you can get 6 pieces if you leave the thigh and the leg like a leg quarter. So there's only 2 sides to a chicken. But I like to. Yeah, I like to buy whole chickens and do my own, separation of it. And then I also, if I find I fall short, I'll buy some extra pre-cut pieces. But you'll save a lot of money if you cut your own chicken.
Of course. Okay, so basically that's what we're starting with. We're starting with the chicken, and we're making the assumption that whoever's the cook for the Sunday dinner has got the chicken cut up. So
yeah, so we're doing the prep
there,
now. Yeah, the prep is, you're going to get 2 half chickens. You're going to get at least 2 to 3 broiling plump chickens. They've got to be broiling chickens. And you can actually use fryers, too, if you can get the fryers work well, just as well. And I use Creole seasoning. That's all around the country. I'm a Zatarain's person myself. And so you can get that, or you can get Emerald's Bayou Blast, whatever you like. And that cuts out the salt. I don't use Creole seasoning and salt. It just makes it too salty. 1 teaspoon of Creole seasoning, 1 teaspoon of garlic powder, a bottle of your favorite barbecue sauce, 6 to 3 tablespoons of Worcestershire sauce, 3 to 6 tablespoons of premium smoke flavor. And see, that changes it because we're doing inside barbecue. And you can also use it an outside, too, but we're going to do the inside oven just in case, you're in a climate you can't do it right now. And 3 to 6 dashes of Tabasco sauce or more. Give it a little spice. After washing your chicken, and you're going to rub it with the dry seasonings, Creole and garlic powder, in a Ziploc bag, place chickens at the Worcestershire sauce, smoke flavoring, and Tabasco sauce in each bag. Place it in the fridge for 1 to 2.5 hours to marinate. Preferably do this overnight. This is all your prep. You preheat your oven to 350. You place your chicken halves on a baking dish rack. While the chicken is cooking for about 20 minutes, remove from heat. Coat all sides of the chicken with the barbecue sauce, brushing all pieces. The reason why you don't want to start off with the barbecue sauce in the beginning, because it has sugar in it, it'll caramelize. And, brother, I burnt a few pieces of barbecue in my oven, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
And so we want to make sure the chicken is – yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you mentioned Tabasco sauce as part of the recipe. That hadn't come up before. I like it. Is that something that, depending on your taste, you can leave out if necessary?
Well, by all means, some people don't want the spice, and you got to be careful with Tabasco because it's pure cayenne. It's something that Louisianians like here. And in our Creole seasonings, we have cayenne. So that's an option, of course.
Sure. Okay, please go on.
And so we're going to make sure what you want to do, like I say, cooking the chicken on each side for 20 minutes. We're talking about 40 minutes to an hour, but not overcooking it. And we're going to add the barbecue sauce. I would say at least 30 minutes more or less, as you like to put it on it, and return to the oven and cook for another 30 to 40 minutes or less. And you have to be the judge of that. I recommend having a test piece of chicken, okay, and testing that small drumstick and see how that's cooked. If it's perfect, pull the bird out immediately. Don't slice in it. Let it rest. And you're going to have something great. Now, for the grill, repeat the marinating process and turn the chicken every 6 minutes and baste with sauce. Adjust the grill to the coals to crisp the chicken. Now, some people say, well, coals, I'm a gas person. Okay. Make sure you adjust the heat so you won't burn the chicken. And, again, careful on the barbecue sauce because it will make it a little bit darker than you want to. And this is a food note. I use it in all the books. Serve with garlic bread and pasta salad or potato salad and enjoy. You got to have a side dish. So this is Sunday barbecue chicken. But, aha, I have taken it another level, my friend. And we have to have sides. I'm glad you asked me that question. Are there any sides?
Yes,
well, I have a corn pudding recipe that my mama had, so we can talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, corn pudding is basically, an egg, can of cream-style corn, nutmeg, and cinnamon mixture, can of white and brown sugar mix, 3 tablespoons of butter or more. I like butter a lot, so you might want to go a little higher with that. 2% milk and cream mixture, canned milk, and a couple of eggs. So what you want to do is blend all the wet ingredients together, add the sugar and spices and salt and mix. Blend well. Place corn in a buttered baking dish. Must be buttered. Pour mixture over corn and mix well. Sprinkle with cinnamon, nutmeg on top. Place on a cookie sheet so it won't overflow or spill out on your oven. Cover with foil, bake for about 1 hour. After the hour is done, remove the foil. Say again?
You need to get that a head start over the chicken, don't you?
Yes, indeed. Well, you have to have your prep time. The secret of cooking is preparation. So all the recipes prep you before you even get to the oven. And so all this can be done on the same 350-degree temperature. That's a common degree of cooking in most ovens.
Nice.
Some can cook it at, corn pudding, you can drop it to 275. Slow and go, or just the norm. I wouldn't take it any lower than 275, but 350 is about the standard. But in the cookbook, I recommend 275, But 350 wouldn't hurt either. And you're going to remove the foil at the last few minutes for about 3 minutes and let it brown. Serve hot and bubbly. That's going to be a great dish to your chicken. If you choose to use a garlic bread or potato salad, potatoes and corn go together beautifully. I think so.
What do you think? Do we make Karen's potato salad for this dinner?
We could do that. We can do that. I just don't absolutely know the recipe for that, but I think you could lead them to that in our mini cookbook, my friend.
That's right. We've got that all ready to go, and I'll explain to the listeners what we did there with Karen's potato salad before the end of the show. Please go on.
Now, Jimmy Swaggart, the great evangelist, him and his wife, Frances, they love to bake sweet potatoes. When you go to restaurants here, they ask you, do you want a loaded potato? Well, all they do is put cinnamon and butter and maybe marshmallows in a baked sweet potato. And they split that and they serve it to you on a plate. And it's the same concept. And baking a sweet potato is very simple and easy. Again, because of the sugar content, I would probably do it at 300 degrees. I put it on a cookie sheet because sweet potatoes have a tendency, and they have sugar, they can ooze out. And how do you know it's done? Well, first and foremost, you would test it with maybe a small knife, and if it's soft in the middle, You can pull that out, and before you serve it, you can slice it up. You can actually have a little small bowl of cinnamon and brown sugar mixture and a little nutmeg and butter, and it'd be like a pass around, and everyone could put in their own loaded ingredients or in marshmallows. You could have a lot of fun with that. But picture that: barbecue chicken, garlic bread, Karen's potato salad, and corn pudding. That, to me, is a great Sunday dinner, but there's something missing, and I wonder what that would be. Make a salad. You got to have something green. Without the green, you have
green
a lot
vegetables.
Of – you have to have something green, and I think the most simplest thing is to make a quick American tossed salad with carrots, you know, green leaf lettuce. Watch the romaine, because there's a call on romaine right now. A little iceberg would be great, cucumber. You can have beets in it. You can have broccoli, raw broccoli, cauliflower. You can throw mushrooms in it. A salad is what you like. And so if people are picky about things, you can just lay the basic green leaf vegetable, have everyone serve themselves and say, hey, there's a buffet of things you can throw into your salad, walnuts, apples, different kinds of – I love ranch dressing, Thousand Island. You can use all those different type of things to satisfy anyone. And naturally, you got to have a great drink. So we like Southern Sweet Iced Tea. We love iced tea down here in Lemonade, so that would complete your Sunday dinner. I tell you what, you get your family sitting down, and this brother, they'll want to come every Sunday and say, I wonder what Mom has next.
Well, let me just try to see if I can get a couple of extra details in here. What would you think about taking, you know, let's say you're going to start with the basic lettuce combination for your salad, and in order to let people pick out what else they want, maybe you put everything else in a vegetable tray or one of those big round compartment dishes and let people choose from there?
You can even buy a what I would call a tabletop Lazy Susan, or you can create different little small bowls, what I like to call little monkey dishes, and you can put stuff there, or you can make a tray. Now, this is really neat, and put aluminum foil, and you'll make, you know, the aluminum foil to lay flat, and then you can roll some aluminum foil up and like kind of make compartments on the tray, which is really nice, and you can lay things out in nice and neat, and they can pick out what they want. Because some people don't like tomatoes. I would recommend using cherry tomatoes. You'll be better off than slicing tomatoes. Some folks just don't
that.
Some people don't like red onion. I like a loaded salad because I want some everything in there. I love pears and apples and nuts. It's
just
a wonderful thing. Beautiful.
Everything that's in a salad is good for us, right?
That's exactly right. And, you know, the good Lord wants us, you know, if you read in Genesis, He said in the herb of the field and those things would be our meat. We weren't eating meat at the time, back in Adam and Eve's time, and we were eating fruits and vegetables, basically. That was the diet even animals were. So getting back to some of the basics of our ancient diet would never hurt you. As a matter of fact, 3 weeks ago, my wife and I were eating salad almost every night, and we were just, you know, putting chicken on it, tuna fish on it, so many different ways you could take a salad up. But the main thing, audience, is, you know, if you don't like salad, you know, steam some broccoli, you know, or stir fry some zucchini and some red onion and things of that nature. You know, whatever you like, make sure your family has a green vegetable, whether hot or cold. You can even drain a can of spinach and fancy that up. Have some buttery water in it and drain that off a little bit and toss us some. Are you ready for this? Italian grated cheese. I love cheesy spinach.
Oh,
or
yeah.
You can
now,
take
so
it another level.
About,
and
the classy grated cheese there, the stuff that's actually done by hand, for instance.
Well, but that, if you have it, they have it in the stores that way, you know, Parmesan and Romano.
Yeah.
Or just go buy some good old-fashioned spaghetti cheese, and it's basically the same thing. It's just more powdery, but you get the same effect.
Right.
Now, what I like to do is encourage everyone to do this often. And you may be from an Italian family, and you say, well, you know, we only do that on Christmas. Well, bring that same tradition Sunday. You're going to have your antipasta, you know, your Italian meats and cheeses first, and you'll have your maybe a soup course, and you'll have a salad course, and you'll have your pasta course, you know, with or without meat. You may even have a meat dish. You can do a 7-course Roman meal if you wanted to. You can do Greek. The thing about it is, audience, bring your family together to eat as a family, and as you begin to see a change, you guys will get closer together, and you'll notice that your kids will carry tradition. Say, you know what, we grew up, we had Sunday dinner at mom's house, and they'll start taking the tradition, and the next thing you know, it'll continue because you started something or brought back something that America has lost its way through McDonald's and fast foods and Pizza Huts and all those things.
Yeah, we want to try to, you know, nothing against, you know, companies that are trying to do business in the United States, but we do want to try to give people something to look forward to together as a family.
It is, and nothing is better than if you just can imagine the old-fashioned backyard cookout, you know, going to 4th of July and the old wooden benches and all mom and dad and aunts and uncles and your cousins. You were a kid. It was great to see everybody there, and everybody's having a good time. You can do that on the inside, or if you have a patio. You just come together at least once a week and eat, and I bet you they're going to want to do that more than once a week. Say, hey, Mom, what's for dinner in the night? And they'll put it together and get the kids in the kitchen to cook with you. Have them do some of the prep work. It's going to be great. Actually, my son is in Texas now. He's 35, 36. I taught him how to cook. He loves cooking.
Good. Good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I
he
wish I'd
Sunday
spend
dinner.
More time teaching my son how to cook now that I think about it.
Yeah, well, he loves Sunday dinner. And he understands the importance of not going out and, you know, if you eat out every day, $20 here, $10 here, that adds up. You can go on to the grocery store and brought groceries and can eat off there for a week or more. You know, my wife, like, you know, today we don't do it often, but she'll buy a roasted chicken in the store. And so you can doctor that up with barbecue sauce, and you can make all kinds of things. But the thing again is having the tradition coming back, and we think Sunday is a great day. Most people go to church, or even if they don't, you know, it's the fact that everybody's usually around, and if they can just set it, you know, like down here in the South, people that like to eat early, like between 1 and 3 o'clock. Very rarely I've gone to dinner at 5 or 6 in the evening. It's just different here.
Mm-hmm. I got to tell you,
that's what I have
hungry,
to share.
You always have that effect.
The variations of Sunday dinner is can go. There's unlimited, Ron. Unlimited. Do you have anything you want to share that you might have experienced you growing up as a family eating together?
Well, actually, I do. I'm kind of like I'm a regular guest at the home of a couple of friends of mine for Thanksgiving dinner every year. And I think they invite me over every Thanksgiving because they feel sorry for me. And there's not too many members of my family that live close by.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they have a huge family dinner of about 15 people plus myself as a guest, and they'll throw out this huge turkey, 2 different kinds of potatoes, a couple of different kinds of greens, some corn on the cob, which, you know, you don't really think of that as necessarily being in season in November, but it's around. And 3 or 4 people usually bring along different kinds of pies for dessert. Plus, like you said before, the iced tea. Ah, boy, I'll tell you what. I mean, it's obviously the tryptophan takes effect after I've had as much turkey as I want. But, you know, it's really kind of nice. I can fill my mouth with food and listen to everybody else. And I could listen to them talk all day because you can just feel the, you know, the care and concern in their voices as they speak to each other, the love that's in the home.
And that's what we want
that's
to get people back. The devotional chef is built on the Bible and God and good food. And the Lord definitely wants families to come together. We've had so many families that are just not friendly to each other, and they don't speak or they don't visit one another, you know, and or you only show up at a funeral and a wedding and that's it. You know, God understands the importance of a fellowship. And so Jesus was one of the greatest fellowshippers in the universe. He went to the wedding, his first miracle, water to wine. You know, praise the Lord, he was at Martha's and Mary's house for food, and he's just he broke bread at the Last Supper, and he likes families. And so if we can just bring the two together, you'll see the gospel in action, because the love you're talking about will just flow. It's kind of hard to, you know, to be crazy at a dinner table, but I've seen that too. If Uncle Pete got too much Pete in him.
Well, let me tell you this, Reverend Lacey. We're down to only about 3.5 minutes left in the show, so this would be a very good time if you wanted to say a prayer for our audience about, you know, getting increased fellowship and love expressed within our families. How would that be?
Well, gracious God, our Father, we thank you for Sunday traditional dinner. God, we thank you that the families that are divided will be united by thy Holy Spirit, and they'll get to know each other, their bone of their bone and flesh of their flesh. Nothing greater than family, Lord God. Next to you, you started family. Heaven is a united front, and we are your children. We pray that they would come together, God, and put away all grievances and dispositions and come together with God and good food. And, Father, we ask that you would save those that are not saved, the note of parting of their sins through Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. So Romans speaks about that. Amen. 10:9. And, Lord, I pray that if anyone said this prayer with me, that they believe that Jesus is the Christ, and they believe that no name under heaven and earth where men might be saved, just by faith, God, they're saved right now. All sins are forgiven. They're your friends, no longer enemies. If you believe that, you said this prayer with me, or say it in your heart, welcome to the family of God, and bless it up with a devotional chef. Back to you, Dr. Ron, here on Blog Talk Radio.
I tell you what, Reverend Lacey, I appreciate you doing that for the sake of our audience. We got 2 minutes left, and I got a quick question for you about dinner. You know, do you have leftovers, or are the guests too many to leave anything behind?
Well, more than likely, I always have leftovers. I'll tell you what I cooked this Sunday. I was anticipating a guest of mine, a Vietnam vet, but he couldn't make it. And so red beans and rice is a traditional meal down here in Louisiana. It's usually a Monday meal. You know, and most houses have red beans and rice and sausage on Monday. And so that's how they live. But I said, well, you know what? I had this big chunk of ham over from Easter, and I cooked the ham first, and I put the red beans and rice that had been – the red beans that were soaked. And I cooked a pot of rice. And, brother, we had plenty to left. Leftover, we were able to give some to the office, send some to my daughter. I still have beans left, but I also cook. They love turkey necks down here, so I cook some turkey necks, and we had some good old southern fried chicken. And for our vegetable, that was it. We didn't have anything green, but that was the dish for Sunday, and when we had some cakes or some pies, so. We were going to make some mustard greens, but my wife said that was too much. So, yeah, we have leftovers, and I always try to make sure someone – if you eat at my house, you eat a plate, you take a plate. That's what I'm trying to get to.
There you go. That's a good word there, Reverend Lacey. We've got a few seconds left, so I just want to say thanks again, Reverend Lacey, for talking about the fun Sunday family dinner, and we'll go look forward to our episode next week. We're going to have a blog post about it later on.